Have you ever regretted not doing something sooner? Perhaps as a result, there was some unnecessary hardship for you.
Each of us is part of God's story. The sooner we submit to God, the better. So submit to God early on.
Okay, before we get started, I just want to say that God is good.
Oh my goodness. This is my friend, Braden. My name is John. Braden, I'm glad you're feeling so good and that you believe God is good. What has put you in such a great mood?
A good mood. That rhymes. I like that.
Yeah. A good mood.
A good mood. I honestly, John, am just so fortunate and blessed to you know, work and serve God in the way that I do. I love my job. I have great people in my life, like you, my co-host. I'm feeling the blessing today.
Well, that's great. So you must have been giving God some thanks.
You know what? I have been attempting and spending time in gratitude, very intentionally so. You know, I feel great after I do so, or, you know, at the very least, I feel better than I did prior to giving God thanks. So today, I am grateful for God because He continually shows me His love and His grace. Now, we have got a lot to cover in today's story, so we should just, you know, get started. I'm on a roll.
All right.
I'm gonna keep going. Okay, so we continue on the story of Moses. If you have not yet started this series, which we've been doing for the last little while, I encourage you to go back to the first story titled, Here I Am. Now, each week, the story builds off the last one, so if you're lost or confused, you can always go back and listen for the first time or re-listen to the stories leading up to this one. As a reminder, last week, Moses and Aaron were going back and forth a lot with Pharaoh. We kind of learned about the first couple plagues, and they were asking Pharaoh to let the Israelite people go and worship God in the wilderness.
So every time Pharaoh's heart would harden, and he would refuse the request of Moses and Aaron. Not cool.
Yeah, no, not cool. There was kind of a theme there. We saw, you know,
yep,
plague, Moses' heart hardened. Moses would often promise to let them go and didn't let them go.
You mean Pharaoh would promise?
Yes, sorry. Yes. Pharaoh would promise and it wouldn't happen, and Pharaoh was kind of being a jerk that way. We also learned that having a heart that is soft and in line with God is vital. I mean, Pharaoh's was, well, the exact opposite of this, and it was going, well, very poorly for him and his people. So let's not wait any longer, and let's jump right into today's story.
All right, jumping in, Moses and Aaron, they go back to Pharaoh and demand that he let the Israelites go so they may worship God in the wilderness. Again, guess what, Braden? Pharaoh refused to let the people go. Big shocker, right?
Yeah, Moses warned Pharaoh that there would be an awful plague, as if like already what has happened to Egypt isn't bad enough, all the plagues we talked about last week. But Moses warns Pharaoh that there's going to be an even more awful plague against all of the livestock in Egypt. The cattle, the donkeys, the sheep, and the goats. And that's what happened. All of the Egyptians' livestock died. I mean, it would have been an incredible amount of animals.
You know what's incredible? None from the Goshen, from the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived, died. Mm. None of their livestock died.
And Goshen's still in Egypt, right? It's just like a separate...
It's just a separate area where the Israelites lived. And so they were spared, all that livestock was spared from that awful plague, which is pretty incredible.
And since Pharaoh still refused to let the Israelite people go, God told Moses and Aaron to pick up soot, which is like ash. And so they pick up soot from a brick kiln and toss it into the air while Pharaoh watched.
Now remember, this would have been from a brick kiln used by the Israelites who were slaves to the Egyptians. And they were making bricks in huge quantities for huge construction projects.
So after Moses, you know, threw this soot into the air, all of the Egyptians and their animals got boils, which are like big, nasty blisters.
So gross.
Just thinking about it. Which would have been extremely painful. Sadly, Pharaoh's heart is still hard, continues to be hard, and he refuses to let the people go.
So Moses went back to Pharaoh and asked him to let the people go and warned, if he doesn't, a massive hailstorm would come.
Now, what's interesting is what God said to Pharaoh through Moses. Let me read Exodus 9, verse 14 to 17. If you don't, I will send more plagues on you and your officials and your people. Then you will know that there is no one like me in all of the earth. By now, I could have lifted my hand and struck you and your people with a plague to wipe you off the face of the earth. But I have spared you for a purpose, to show you my power and to spread my fame throughout the earth. But you still lord it over my people and refuse to let them go.
Now, it sounds to me like God is being gracious by giving Pharaoh many opportunities to obey God and acknowledge that, you know, he is the one true God.
Yeah, absolutely. Moses goes on to say that they need to quickly bring their livestock and their servants, and they need to find them shelter. You know, those that do not find shelter are going to be hit and killed by the hailstorm. And that's exactly what happens. The storm was so bad that it even destroyed the trees.
But Goshen, where the Israelites lived, they were spared.
Hmm.
Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron and says, you know, I was wrong. You know, I've sinned. Please pray that this storm will stop. So Moses left Pharaoh, lifted his hands and prayed, and the storm stopped. And as we might have guessed, Pharaoh's heart became hard again.
Not a surprise. I was going to say big surprise, but not a surprise.
No. And so Pharaoh refuses to let people go, despite his promise to let the people go.
Hmm. You know what's interesting, too, is like Moses is also showing grace and patience with Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Like God is. We see God is. But man, if I was Moses, I'd be like, dude.
And don't forget, Moses and Pharaoh, like, they have history.
Yeah.
Moses grew up in the palace.
Totally.
So they were like adoptive family type stuff going on here.
Yeah.
So it's just another layer of complexity to all of this story.
Totally. All right. So the plagues, they're getting bigger and nastier as the story goes on. And the fascinating point is that during some of the plagues, it says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And at other times or during other plagues, it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Yeah, God says he is making them stubborn so that he can display his miraculous power among them, and so that the Israelite children and grandchildren will be able to tell like epic stories of how God rescued them. I mean, really, Braden, we're still telling the story today.
I know, it's true. And obviously they were stubborn. They're very good at being stubborn.
Yes, Pharaoh and his officials.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So these stories are so incredibly impactful for us today. Like you said, John, we're sitting here and we're still talking about it, and there's still so much that we can learn. So, you know, for the Israelites, spoken word was how they would have passed their history on to one another from one generation to the next generation. You know, I imagine that many grandchildren and great-grandchildren would have, you know, gathered around a fire, and they would have had an older man or an older woman, someone that was wise and that, you know, told really good stories, and they would listen to them like captivated, wide-eyed, you know? Mm,
sounds like summer camp.
Yeah, very good. I'm not quite that old, but I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks. So let me continue. Moses warns of a plague of locusts, which are like giant, disgusting grasshoppers, and they'll devour everything that the hail and the other plagues have not already destroyed. So like just complete and utter decimation, like nothing left.
That's awful.
Pharaoh's officials beg Pharaoh to let the Israelite people go because Egypt is in ruins.
Yeah, and so Pharaoh calls back Moses and finally says to him that they can worship God in the wilderness. But check this out, only the men may go. Well, Moses didn't think this was good enough, and so he insisted that everyone, babies, children, men, women, everyone, would be able to go. Even their animals and their livestock would be allowed to go.
So Moses left and raised his hands to God in prayer, and God sent an east wind that blew all day and all night and brought with it the locusts.
So listen to Exodus chapter 10, verse 15.
I'm listening.
For the locusts covered the whole country and darkened the land. That's a lot of locusts.
That's so gross. It makes my skin crawl.
Yeah. They devoured every plant in the fields, and all the fruit on the trees that had survived the hailstorm. Not a single leaf was left on the trees and plants throughout the land of Egypt. That's a lot of locusts.
That's a lot of locusts.
Super gross.
And already, so they're you know, livestock has been ruined, so there's no food. Like, that's basically what they're saying. It's
yep.
This is a land that is not survivable.
It's in ruins.
Yeah. So Pharaoh spoke to Moses and admitted that he was wrong and that he had sinned, and asks Moses to pray and take away the locusts. And, well, Moses prayed, and a west wind then took the locusts to the Red Sea, where they became fish food. And then here we go again. Pharaoh still refused to let the people go.
I mean, what is it going to take to get through to this guy, right?
He's not a man of his word.
No. So Moses, at God's direction, you know, he lifted his hands and God sent a deep darkness over all of Egypt. Now, this is maybe the scariest one for me to think about so far that we've listened to. Like, the other ones have some explanation, but a deep darkness. Like, it describes it as it being so thick that you could feel it.
It's hard to even imagine. Like, I don't really know. Like, it's darker than nighttime.
Yeah.
Like, it's by them describing it as thick, like,
and feeling it. That's weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, people, you know, they couldn't do anything and they couldn't see anyone. So they just stayed put and waited for the darkness to be over. What was crazy is that the Israelites in Goshen, guess what? They had their usual light and they were not affected by this dark, the darkness and that plague.
It's so amazing. Like, you know, the people of Goshen, the Israelites would have been viewing all of this too. It would have not only been teaching the Egyptian people something, but the Israelite people, it would have been, you know, glorifying God's power at this time for both people groups. Again, Pharaoh calls back Moses and he said, "You may all go, even the little ones. Just leave your animals behind." Pharaoh wanted some assurance that they would return.
But you know what? Moses says no. And check this out. He actually changes the terms of what he's asking for.
Good for Moses, I feel like, after all this time back and forth.
Yeah. So so he says that not only must they bring everyone, but they must bring their herds and flocks, and Egypt must supply them with the animals as sacrifices for worshiping God. That's steep.
Yeah, with that, again, we see Pharaoh's heart hardened, and he again refused to let the Israelite people go. I mean, you think he'd learn up to this point.
You would think.
Not good things are not going to come, but, you know, Pharaoh gets so upset that he says that he would kill Moses if he ever sees him again. You know, it's getting intense, not only in the plagues, but as we said, that this relationship between Moses and Pharaoh, this, you know, familial bond, this history, it's getting really tense. So Moses says, "Fine, you're not going to see me again." And with that, he turns and leaves.
So Braden, last week, you know, I outlined how God was challenging the various gods of the Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
Now he continues to do that with all the plagues that we read about today. And so here are a few more of the gods that the true God would challenge. So the Egyptian gods are being challenged by Moses and the Israelite God.
Yeah, and this is such an interesting, like, just kind of side tidbit.
Yeah.
But it's fascinating, so we like to share it.
All right, so bear with me as I say some of these Egyptian gods, because their names are bizarrely spelt.
John doesn't speak Egyptian, so it's hard.
Nor English all that well.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway. All right, so Apis and Nevis were bull gods. They took the form of a bull. The goddess Hathor had the form of a cow. Numen, or Khnum, had the head of a ram. Isis was the Egyptian goddess of medicine and peace. Nut was the goddess of the sky. Seth, who has a relatively normal name, was the god of storms and disorder. And Ra was the sun god.
Like, do you think they just, like, ran out of inspiration with Seth's name?
I don't know. But
sorry to all of the Seths out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so the plagues that we looked at that then connect to these Egyptian gods were, you know, the death or the challenge of the Egyptian gods were the livestock, you know, the boils or the giant blisters, hail, locusts, and finally the darkness, the thick darkness. And I have to admit that it's, you know, I could easily go down this rabbit hole for, for quite a while. It's really interesting to me, you know, and to see these Egyptian gods challenged, or rather the belief of these Egyptian gods.
Yeah.
Because they're non-existent.
No, they aren't.
It's just, but this is what the people believe. This is kind of what they attributed to all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's actually the one true God challenging these people's belief system. Yeah. And so, I mean, it's really interesting, and it's kind of a side story, and you know, that's our tangent for today. So we'll continue on, but.
And none of these gods, false gods, were able to save because, you know, they were false gods.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the Egyptian people would have been hopeful that their beliefs and their false gods would have done something, but nothing was ever done.
So it is pretty interesting, Braden, but let's, as you said, let's leave that as a side note and keep with the main storyline as outlined in scripture.
Sounds good.
So there is a lot we can learn from this story. We would love to hear from you about something that stood out. It's a lot of fun for us to listen to your reflections or respond to your questions, so send them our way if you have a chance.
Mm-hmm.
So Braden, what is something that stood out to you?
Oh, wow. I think the obvious thing, at least for me, is the devastation of the plagues. Like, when I think about it, it's like, it's systematic, and it's like one after another, and it's like one thing is destroyed, and then the next thing is destroyed. You know, and at first, I mean, it's brutal, and at first it doesn't seem compassionate at all. I mean, God is the one sending these plagues that is, you know, devastating the whole land. Yeah, I wish so badly that the Egyptians, and more specifically that Pharaoh, would have turned to God and obeyed him. You know, I wish that Pharaoh would have had a conversation with God, just like Moses did. You know, when we were talking about Moses asking why all the misery, Moses, we see him vulnerable, we see him angry, we see him frustrated, and Pharaoh could have had this. He could have turned to God and been like, God, why are you devastating my land? Why are you devastating my people? And perhaps that vulnerability would have softened his heart. But we don't see that. You know, Pharaoh doesn't do that. He doesn't take that opportunity. And instead, he just continues to get a hardened heart and becomes more and more stubborn.
You know, of course, you know, God, we know, predicted all of this at the beginning of the story when God called Moses from the burning bush, that Pharaoh would continue to have a hard heart. But, it didn't need to be this way.
Hmm.
Imagine if Pharaoh humbled himself before God and was obedient like Moses was.
It's honestly hard to imagine the story that way because it was very repetitive in Pharaoh's hardened heart, but it could have been so different. I mean, if this happened, maybe there wouldn't have even been a need or this whole story of all the plagues. It just wouldn't have happened.
Right. Okay, Braden, what is something that we can learn from this story?
Okay, so I think along with what stood out and the lines of what we've talked about is this idea that we can submit to God early, and that actually submitting to him early is the best choice. You know, God gave Pharaoh many, many chances amid the hardships of all of the plagues to respond well to him, to respond well to God. Unfortunately, Pharaoh never did that, and his kingdom and Egypt was utterly devastated because he refused to submit to God.
That, you know, that's well said. The truth is, you know, there is only one God.
Mm-hmm.
And we ought to align ourselves with God, meaning submitting to him as that one true God.
Mm-hmm.
So the sooner we do that, the better. Now, I'm not going to say for a moment that life won't be challenging or hard, but God is good. God desires us. He loves us, and he wants to bless us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can only do that when we align ourselves he can only do that when we align ourselves with him. So submit to God early.
Yeah, it actually, just one quick thing. It points out here, John, the difference between the two spots where the Israelites were living in Goshen and where the Egyptians were living. And I think, you know, we see the submission and the belief in God and just the vast difference that that can have for us.
Growth tip time.
Growth tip time. Growth tip time.
You know what, Peyton? One of my kids was copying that last line after we listened to the podcast. You know, I guess it maybe is catchy. I don't know. But it was stuck in his head.
It's something.
It's something. I don't even think he wanted it stuck in his head, which is kind of funny. But it was there.
I mean, that is funny. And although I relate to it a little too much because it is often stuck in my head after we record. But, you know, it's hard to see what we have to put ahead of God. So our growth tip this week, and we're jumping right into it, is simple. Ask a trusted friend or a family member, do you see anything in my life that I see or I'm perceiving as more important than God? You know, maybe it's something that's stuck in your head all the time or something that you're focusing on, like growth tip time.
I don't know if that's more important than God.
I think that sounded like Kermit the Frog accidentally. Whoops. But yeah, something that, you know, that thought, that idea, that thing that is always in your head that you hold as more important than God. You can also ask them, sorry to interrupt you, John, but you know, if there isn't anything, is there something that could become more important than God? If I'm not careful, is there something kind of close there?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think, Braden, you're onto something. Conversations with friends, family, you know, they're some of the most significant ways for us to grow in a relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. They're really important. So, you know, others can see things that we're often blind to and we just cannot see in our own life. So asking this questions, you know, might be hard, but it'll be great.
Yeah. So schedule that in. Ask a friend, say, hey, I want to have a good conversation with you and have that chat as soon as you can. You know, you can read today's story in Exodus chapters 9 and 10. We have so much fun sharing these stories with you each and every week. So stay tuned to hear a preview of next week's story.
Hey, before we close, Braden, you know, I want to say a huge thank you to our listeners.
Oh, I thought you were going to say thank you to me, but that's fine.
I appreciate you as well. But, you know, last month, month of February, the number of listeners quadrupled.
Yeah, it was wild. Like
you know, we get some of the statistics from our sites and Google Analytics and different things like that. And it was just, you know, jaw-dropping what we saw. And the only explanation that either of us have are, you know, one, that people shared the podcast.
So thank you.
So thank you. and or maybe God just said, you know, we're going to grow this.
Absolutely.
And probably what's going on is both of those things.
Certainly both.
So we want to just say a huge thank you to you. And thanks for sharing with your friends and family. It means the world to us.
We really appreciate it. I was literally in a room with somebody else as John sent me a screenshot of how many listens we had in a day. And it's not like any crazy number, but we're so grateful for where we're at. And I literally jaw dropped and said, what?
Yeah.
Out loud and scared the other person in the room. They thought something horrible had happened, but I was like so excited.
That's funny.
So yes, thank you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Remember Bible Story Pod or at Bible Story Pod is where you can find us on Instagram. Also be sure to tap subscribe. And if this story or podcast, you know, benefits you or you think it will benefit others, please share it with them. If you would like to hang out with us this summer, you can register for summer camps at covenantbay.ca.
Hey, Braden, don't forget to tell them how much you love them.
Wow. Okay. You're just throwing me there.
I'm just throwing you into this.
I love you guys so much.
Braden's got his arms stretched out as wide as possible.
I do.
He's a bit of a hugger and, you know, he'd probably give each of you a hug. You might find that a little bit creepy. But he's honest. He's very genuine.
I don't know why I've turned into such a hugger over these years, but I have. So I'm sending you all a virtual hug. You can feel it. And just enjoy that. Okay. Before I keep rambling, you guys have a great week. We will chat with you again soon.
I've got a few friends that like to celebrate. Some might describe themselves as over the top and maybe even ridiculous at times.
Okay, coming up on the Bible Story... Are you talking about me?
Maybe.
Anyway, coming up on the Bible Story podcast, we are going to learn why it is so important to celebrate what God will do. I think John's talking about me.